Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Nun Aleph. And we had gotten up to the Mishnah yesterday, but as I promised you yesterday, I'm going to torture you and make you think, well, that's not the way I said it, but we would go over again Abba Shaul, because remember that Abba Shaul was a little bit opaque, and the question was how exactly it serves as an introduction to the Mishnah that's coming up. So even though we got up to the Mishnah, let's go back a little bit again to try to understand that Abba Shaul, because we rushed through it yesterday a lot. And we had talked about Kalala to Yemai. So now when Abba Shaul comes along and he is adding, and he's saying, well, Kol Shani Zakai Bamirato, what in the world was he talking about? That case that we understood was a case that was adding Heter. So basically, just remember what it is that we understood it. The way we understood it is that he's referring to the Seifa, and what he was trying to say was, you're right, I understand your problem. And that is, why in the world would I say that Amira should be the basis of how it is that we're being matir mechashken al atchum? It doesn't say Amira anywhere. It does say mechashken al atchum. So, like, what am I trying to say? So the Gemara came out and said that what he was trying to say is that certain things are givens, okay? Certainly, I could tell somebody, do me a favor, keep your eye on my field. Make sure nobody breaks in, right? That's not a problem. I could tell my neighbor to do that. And we could exchange doing that. If I have a house in the other guy's neighborhood outside of the Trum, I ask him, keep an eye on my home. I'll keep an eye on your home in this Trum. No problem. And it's not even conceivable that anybody would argue about that. That's what Abba Shaul was saying. So, and that was actually spoken out in Shmuel's name. Remember, I'm Rabbi Yonam Shmuel. So what Abba Shaul is trying to tell the Tanakhama is, instead of focusing, like you're focused very tight on being mechashkim alatchum about these particular cases, I mean, why refer to particular cases? I don't understand. Instead of talking about being shomer peros or whatever, right? You could simply say a klal. It's a general thing. If I would be allowed to tell somebody to do it, just by on Shabbos, right? So, I mean, why in the world couldn't I just wait to do it on Shabbos also? So that's what you should say. Anything that I can tell you to do, then I'm allowed to be makshich alatchum. In order to do, why focus like this? Why are you highlighting this particular case to be shamer my peres, okay? And that would be, I think that would be very useful. Okay, why would it be useful? And this is where it leads into the next Mishnah. I think it would be very useful because that way it would even include cases that you might not have thought about. For instance, am I allowed to say that, hey, Joe, do me a favor. We're going to need to get stuff for the chuppah after Shabbos. I want you to be able to run right after Shabbos and get it, right? So could I do that? Yes, because it's Chefzei Shamayim. That's what he holds. And since I'm able to talk about it, you agree that Chefzei Shamayim, we just spoke about that. So since you agreed to that, so Chefzei Shamayim would be mutter. So then I could learn out from there that if there's a general rule that anything that I'm allowed to talk about doing and ask somebody to do, I'm also allowed to be machshich on the tchum to do myself, it would give me a much broader understanding and allow me to go out of my home, walk all the way out to the Trum, which may be a few kilometers away from my house, you know, and go all the way to the Trum and wait there so I should be able to get to a shopping plaza that's outside of the Trum to be able to buy things that I need for the chuppah, right? So why not say it like that? Now, the truth is the Tanakhama doesn't agree, and that's exactly why they don't want to say that rule, because they don't believe it's true. Because what they hold is that there's a big difference between being able to say something to someone that he's going to do after Shabbos, and you're allowed to say it because it's not daber davar av mimtso chefzecha, and therefore it's mutter, but how does that allow you to actually do an action? Walking 5 kilometers to get to the end of the Trum, it doesn't necessarily follow. Memela, according to the Tanakhama, it isn't true. You would not be allowed to be mechashkim al atchum for that. And because of this, we now understand as an introduction to the next Mishnah, where we're talking specifically about those Chefzei Shamayim, that indeed we have to understand things in terms of Abishol. And that's what the last piece was. What would be the advantage, basically, of saying Klal Omer Abishol Koshani Zakai Ba Mirato Rishoyani? It would be this. According to me, you'd be able to walk out up to the trum, even though that involves an action as opposed to just talking about it. But enochinami, according to the Rabbanon, it would not be the case. And that brings us up to the Mishnah that actually discusses exactly that case. So this is how the introduction works. By the way, I did want to speak to you a little bit about where it is that we're going and what it is that has happened. And again, without our even noticing, which is the way that the Gemara is so brilliantly arranged, that everything just seems to be accidentally spoken about because of, I don't know, sometimes because we mentioned the same guy that had said something else. Really weird. Essentially, note that what has happened is that we have created the sense of the environment of Shabbos. Because of that, the environment of Shabbos, which is essentially to avoid uvda d'chol, chol not simply as opposed to Shabbos, because chol is opposed to kodesh. That led us remarkably into the question of whether there's a relationship between v'haya machanecha kadosh, which we thought was only in terms of inyonim of arayas, whether that v'haya machanecha kadosh is a reference bichlal to your state of consciousness in terms of being Maharher in Divrei Torah and so on and so forth, which brought us to the distinction between Akum and Yisrael as terms of status of humanity and what is considered to be a machana in terms literally of Arayas. Would it be considered to be an erva if you're looking at something that is not fully human in Shabbos terms? And therefore, the idea of having an environment of Kedusha on Shabbos and avoiding inyanim of chol interrelates the question of how you speak in terms of the general idea of machana daber dovar. And then the question was whether dibor is directly connected to divar erva. So that was the amazing, amazing multi-leveled gemara that we got to. And it's so beautifully part of the whole inyan of the concept of uvda d'chol and the question of mimitzoch chavtzecha. So now let's talk about the Mishnah that we got to here, and see how we continue with the issues that Abishol was talking about. So now, consistent with Abishol's opinion, so you would be allowed even to be machshich in halatchum for issues that you could talk about, and therefore, since you're allowed to, specifically, we said before, you're allowed to talk about tzorchei mitzvah, and therefore, mefakhi in apikuach nefesh, or mefakhi in al iske kala, or al iske hamet, so that means you're allowed to attend conferences, talk about it, and so on. So then by the same token, Alibad Abishol, you would be also allowed to be Machshichin HaLatchum. And therefore, says the Halakha Mishnah, you can indeed walk out to the edge of the Tchum in order to be able to take care of things that the Kala is going to need for the Chuppah. We spoke about that, remember, yesterday about, so what would those things be that would otherwise be usher? Because it can't just be bringing things, because that's for sure. We said anything that could theoretically be brought is not a problem. But over here, the Gemara said before, what we're talking about is cutting down hadasim, to make a beautiful chuppah, let's say, right? Or in terms of the iske hamet. And the iske hamet would be to bring aron v'tachrichin, which we said can't mean just to bring, because if we're just to bring, then according to Shmuel, anyway, you would be allowed to be machshir, because bringing is not ipso facto a chilul Shabbos, since it would be possible to create mechitza. So we said it's talking about that you would need to adjust the size, which would be binyan if it was referring to the orain or tikkun moneh in terms of the tachrichin. Okay, once we're already talking about, and again, obviously it's not once we're already talking about, but it's the inyan of Shabbos, which leads us to Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, which leads us to understanding Mizmor Shir Latid Lavo, Liyom Shekulo Shabbos, and that takes us, in terms of the human condition, it takes us through Shabbos of one's lifetime, through death, through, we talked about illness, now we talk about through death, and through the Hachonah for Olam Haba, and life on the level of an Olam Shekulo Shabbos. So we started, again, in terms of a multi-leveled construction of things, we started in the Mishnah of talking about Tzorchei Mitzvah. So Tzorchei Mitzvah, obviously, in the same way that includes marriage, it includes death. And may I point out to you something that I've pointed out many times, that, without being cynical, that marriage and death go hand in hand in many, many ways. And of course, in terms of the broader sense of Shabbos, we understand that, because the idea of Asher Bora Elohim La'asos and the question of Adam's status in Gan Eden and the coming into an Olam of Shabbos, and an Olam that's meant to be Kula Shabbos. So the idea over there is the entire process of living, and that means all of the various phases of what a person goes through in order to be able to ultimately regain that which was lost. Please mute yourself. So that would mean that it just, we find these halachas to be exactly the same. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. There's a din of sheva brochas by a kala. There's a din of sheva brochas by an ovel. There's a din of ponim chadoshes by a kala. There's a din of ponim chadoshes by an ovel. There's a din of making, by the way, there's even katosis kasha. Why do we have to talk about different tzrochim for the kala and the maize? The minig was to cut down hadasim for the maize, exactly as the same as the kala. We have all of the gemaras and ksuvos about what do you do if a funeral procession meets up with the kala procession, which what comes first, then all of the questions of avelas during a wedding, and if the parents of the kala die or the chosin die, and so on and so forth. So here as well, the Mishnah has made another one of those juxtapositions in which we're talking about iske kala and iske hamet. And so once we talk about that, let's talk about the preparations for a funeral. If we're talking about the preparations for the mace, there's also preparation for the burial. So let's say you had a goy that was mevich halilin b'shabbat. It was the common practice at a funeral to play music. And the music that was played, again, people have this mistaken idea, which, I don't know, it came, I think, from the Ashkenazim, and the idea of you can't listen to any kind of music and so on, b'shas avelus. And this became like you can't turn on any music during times where you're not supposed to be listening to music. That isn't true. It's all in terms of din of simcha. You're not allowed to use music to be misameach. If you're talking about music as part of hespedim, which was the norm, as the Gemara says, at the time of the Churban itself, they were playing music about the Churban. So that was Ayalda Nafla Bepfiem. And that idea was very much part of a funeral. So they would bring chalilim in order to use the music, sad music, to be ma'orer people, and that would be part of the funeral. So if a nochri brings these chalilim on Shabbat, we'll talk about what do we mean bring. Bring from where? Lo yispod b'hem Yisrael. It should not be used for a funeral at all. So that's a question. What do we mean? Should not be used ever? Rashi Shita is, should not be used ever. And he says it's Bishum Knas. Just about none of the other Rishonim agree with him. And they say this is a standard case of cannot be used unless it was Bichtei Shiyaseh. So in other words, you need to be able to duplicate what was done in such a way that it wouldn't have required Chilul Shabbos. So whatever it took to get it here, you'd have to wait that amount of time. Okay, what about if the Goyim made an Orein, where they dug a kever? Now, this is talking about not that it was made specifically for the Yisrael, as we'll see, but that he made, this is a funeral hall, you know, that makes a living off of these things. And they had these things prepared, but wasn't specifically made for the Jew. So then yikaver bo Yisrael. But if it was made specifically for Yisrael, then lo yikaver bo olamit. Now, over here, indeed, it does say ever should not be kovur, and that's problematic. According to Rashi, it's not problematic, because we said before the Rashi holds to the Knas, but everybody else does not agree that it's actually for a Knas. So we're going to see later on in the Gemara why it's more important for us not to do this to the Jew. Okay, so now let's go back and understand what was meant in Mimakom Karev. If it comes from Mimakom Karev, we said it's okay. Meaning what? So Rav says, when it says Mokum Karev, it means you know that it came from somewhere that was inside of the Tchum of Shabbos, and because of that, there was no Chilul Shabbos used in the preparation of this movie. So that would mean that it would have to be a Vadai, according to Rav. Where Shmuel says, Chayshinan Shemachutz L'choma Lanu. Well, we are Choshesh. Now, it's true that it's very rare to use the word choshesh lakula, okay? But most of the Rishonim understand that this is one of those cases, chayshina. So in other words, as long as you can attribute it to some doubt, You don't know. Maybe we have the same case in Chagiga as Rashi brings, which is a very strange chayshina, that if you have supposedly a virgin who gets pregnant, now only the Christians know how to do that, and nonetheless, Shmuel paskins that she would still be kosher for the kahuna. Why would she still be kosher for the kahuna if we can establish that she still seems to be a virgin? Because we are chayshinan, which is a weird word of use, chayshinan. We're chayshinan that somebody masturbated into a bath. And remember that in those days, they used public baths. And she got pregnant from sperm that was in the bath. So that's called chayshinan. And because of that, we do not consider her to be psula le kahuna. She's allowed to marry a kohen. Quite amazing. So you see that the lashon of chayshinan is the idea of the possibility of, even Lakula. And therefore, when Shmuel says it, this Rashi actually compares it to that Gemara in Chagiga. So if Shmuel is saying Chayshinan, it's the same Loshen that he uses there. So it means that you can suspect something and use that suspicion to go Lakula. And in fact, Daikamat Nitin Kavati de Shmuel, we can read the Mishnah much better the way Shmuel reads it, because it says, Asalo Aaron v'chafalo kever yikaver bo Yisrael. So if he made something, he could have made it for a Jew, right? Nonetheless, we're being matarit, because we don't know that he made it for a Jew. So Alma Misveka Shori. So you see that as long as you can say maybe he made it for a Goy, that would be enough. So if that would be in the case, then that should be true in the first part of the Mishnah, where it was talking about the Chalilim. And if it's maybe inside of the Tchum before Shabbos, so then, fine, it's inside the Tchum before Shabbos, perhaps, then I don't have to worry about using it. By the way, Tosis points out, why aren't we worried about the fact that even if it were in the Tchum, don't we have to worry about Hotzah? I mean, maybe the Goy actually went through Rosh Hasharabim, or if we know that he lived on the other side of town, he definitely maybe went through Rosh Hasharabim. So, right? So there's a number of different approaches. One is that is not really going to be a problem, because the amount of time that it would take just to be dealing with the fact that you crossed the street would not be relevant to the funeral, because it's going to take you more time than that anyway to get the funeral organized. So we don't even bother with that. But others learn that it's not because anyway you waited the time, it's because the Rabbanan aren't gozer a gezerah of Bichdei Sheyaseh unless it's a significant period of Bichdei Sheyaseh. Fine. So in any event, it works out very well according to Shmuel. On the other hand, we do have a raya from, it should say Tanan probably, because it's a Mishnah Machshirin, we do have a raya to Rav, and that is the din that we had earlier. That if you've got a city that has a population of both Jews and non-Jews, and it has this public bathhouse that is actually working, it's a business, and it's open seven days a week, 24/7, and the question over here is, am I allowed to go after Shabbos and use the hot water that had been heated in that bath or not if I'm Jewish? So the halacha is over there. It depends. If you have mostly nochrim, now that doesn't mean most of the people in town. Remember, we spoke about this at length earlier. If most of the customers that will be coming in after Shabbos are goyim, so then there's no problem for Yisrael to be rochitz b'miyad. But if the goyim would not usually be coming there Saturday night, they'd rather go to the movies, and then most of your customers are Yisrael at that time. So then if Rov Yisrael, then you have to be yamtin b'chdei shiyah, so you have to wait as long as it would take for you to heat up the water. If it's mechza al mechza, so then you have to also wait. So then it's also ad k'dei shiyachamu chamim. You still need to wait, even though it's mechza al mechza. So that means that where we have a case of a suffix, this is how Rashi understands it. If you have a case of a suffix, so then you still asr it. Now, that's a little bit difficult for obvious reasons. Again, this is not the big issue we should be focusing on, but remember that the question over there of customers has to do not with sveikas, it has to do with what do we consider this to be in terms of a malacha bishvil Yisrael, in which case of it's a totally different question about how to view this, the mechza mechza. Because of that, others learn it very different. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you've got like a small personal bathtub. And very often, like you have today in a mikveh, you have these small rooms where you could take a personal, you could rent a personal room. So then if you've got a rashut, then rochetz b'miyad. If you've got an important person there, an official, then a Jew would be able to use it right away. What does that mean, a rashut? It means if you've got someone that's very choshev over there who could, again, theoretically, the guy's got so many people working for him that he could take a parallel bath. So he's got parallel processing in which he takes 10 people. Each one of them cooks up one kettle worth of water. If you got enough people, you can fill up your bath immediately, right? So over there, you could be semich on that. If you've got asara avadim, shemechamim lo asara kum kamin, all at the same time in parallel, so then in matya ketana mutar l'chotzba, because again, you can say that that is emed, since it's possible. Once again, the idea of possibility. So Reb Yehuda doesn't agree with the Tanakhama is going l'chomra, and he learns as long as it's possible, we could be semich on that. Now, we said if the goyim made an ora, and so they made a coffin, or they actually dug a kever, I don't understand. Aren't we in the same situation as we were with the chalilim? At least it would be dependent on the machlokas. I mean, if we don't know, so then we should say it's usur, right? I mean, at least according to Rav, it should definitely be usur. And we just had in the Mishnah that you have to wait for the water to be heated, even if you had both types of customers. So over here, this funeral parlor, I mean, he's got both type of customers. So why would we say that it's okay to use it for Yisrael? Omar Ula, we're talking about the kind of kever that could not have been made for Yisrael. Why? It's omed bisratya. It's a minhag of goyim to put up kvorim in places where they will attract attention. You put up a beautiful monument and so on and so forth. And it's actually in the side of a main highway. So that no Jew would ever be buried there. He would be buried at Besakvaris and Makab Tsonua, and therefore must not have been made for a Jew. It's all very nice. You could talk about the kever, but how would you know that the orain, that the coffin was made for a goy? Maybe it was made for Yisrael, which have the same issue of the suffix. Aron Ma'ikel Meimar. Omer Rebbe Abo, this is talking about that it was a 2-for-1 price. Buy the grave and you get the free coffin. So you may put the coffin on top of the kever. And therefore, it was clear that it was made for whatever customer who was obviously not going to be Jewish that would buy the kever would also buy the coffin. All right, Sir Richard, our capitan, please get us through the funeral quickly. I know you don't like him either, so go ahead. Osim kol tzarchei hamet, you can do on Shabbos. This is considered to be also a inyan of chafetz shamayim because it's the kovet hames. And of course, one of the problems of death is that it brings decomposition. And therefore, we certainly view that as something that needs to be avoided as much as possible, which is a terrible bizayin for the mace. And because of that, you're allowed to do, as long as you're not over on moving muktza, you would be allowed to do anything that you need to do for a mace. So you can actually do the tyra, at least the part of the tyra that doesn't involve moving the actual body. So you can put oil on. And remember, you're allowed to, the only problem is of moving muktza. There's no problem of touching muktza. And because of that, there would be no problem of putting oil, being sach oil on him, or washing the body, as long as bevach lo yaziz bo ever. And you could even be meziz if it would be a way that would be minatzat. So if you, let's say, you could pull a pillow out from beneath the body in order to get the body to lie on a cool surface, like a floor, as opposed to something that wouldn't allow the heat to dissipate. And you can be matilinoto ala chol, which would be cool, so you can let the body lie on cool chol by pulling out a pillow from under it for the purposes of avoiding decomposition. So that would be in order that it shouldn't start going downhill. B'shvil sheyamtin. Yamtin means to wait, to decompose. Koshrina talechi. You could do other things which you might think are similar to actually moving, but are not. So one of the problems, again, of Bizayon HaMeis is that his mouth may start to drop. So you're allowed to tie something around his jaw, not that you should move, but rather that it should not continue to drop open. We had the same thing before about a korah, shenishbara. So if you have a roof beam, remember the case over there was it broke. You're worried about the roof caving in. So it says over there you're allowed to put things under it, like safsal or aruchot amita, but only to prevent it from sagging. You're not allowed to push it back up because then that would be a getter of binyan. Same thing is true over here. So there it's lo shetale, ela shalot tosif. And what we're going to see, this seems to be like, okay, what do I bring this in here for? Amazingly, the entire ending of Kohelet that describes the deterioration of old age and death is compared to roof beams and houses and windows and parts of a home, which we're going to analyze later on in the sugya, and therefore the Mishnah is spot on. Yeah. Ah. Whoa. This is heavy duty, man, let me tell you. Five times, just get out a little bit of gas there. Okay. Asks the Gemara, didn't Rav Yehuda quote Shmuel as saying a Maisa? So it was a story with one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Meir, and he wanted to make sure that Rabbi Meir was in a place that was clean and didn't smell bad and so on, and Rabbi Meir was going to wash on Shabbos. So he follows Rabbi Meir as his mishamish into the bathhouse, and he wanted to wash the floor. And the floor, of course, was tiled. There was no problem of being mashva gumas or anything like that. And Rabbi Meir said, no, you're not allowed to do that. Don't wash the floor. Okay, so then he wanted to, like, use some stuff that was like good smelling oil to be able to put it. Bathhouses don't usually smell all that great. So he wanted to be lo such the karka. So Rabbi Meir said, no, you're not allowed to be such the karka either. Now the Gemara is assuming that this is because since the floor itself, the stones on the floor are considered to be muktza, because of that, you're not allowed to wash or to use oil on something that's muktzah. It's a problem in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you could do this for a body, and a body is muktzah. Says it were, no. It's not because of muktzah, for heaven's sakes. It's because of hashvaz gumais. Remember, we said before that this is all machlokas, even if a particular floor is tiled. And according to some, even if all of the floors in town are tiled, nonetheless, karka bekarka mechalfa. People can forget about the difference between a tiled floor and just a dirt floor. And if they end up going around washing tiled floors, they may simply come to do the same thing on a part of the floor that wasn't tiled, and they'll be mashva gumais. So that, yes, I have to worry about. I am certainly not going to worry about somebody thinking, well, didn't I just pour water over this guy's body? Why can't I pour water over the floor? I mean, it's insane. What will one have to do with the other? So mate bekarka lo michlef, obviously. Okay, then the Mishnah referred to something. It said, kol tzorchei hamet. And then it listed everything that I could think of that would be a tzorchei hamet. So, like, what is the kol that we're talking about over here? What does that add? So, latuyemai. That includes even bringing a cold thing. So, let's say you bring ice, you bring kalim, like glass or like metal, which would serve to use their conductivity to be able to dissipate the heat. And you could put that on his stomach, kidei shelo tipoach, in order to avoid swelling. Upokakina nikavav, you could also close up any area in the body that would let air in, kidei shelo tikares ben haruach, to avoid causing any type of swelling. V'av Shlomo amar b'chokhmato. And Shlomo also pointed out, when he starts talking about the doing teshuva, right? So zechorot boracha b'mei bechorotecha. This was said with a whole description of, you better do teshuva before the day comes when, ad asher lo yirateik hevel hakesev, before that beautiful silver rope breaks. That's referring in death to the spinal cord, which is like a silver rope. It's a silvery cord. V'tarutz gulata zahav, and you don't want the beautiful golden bowl, that's a reference to the penis being broken, ze'ama. It's called gulat, because gulat refers to something that flows. And that is tishaver kad alamabo. And then the pitcher gets broken at the well. That refers to the stomach, which means that the stomach won't explode and pour all of its contents back into the person's mouth. And narotz ha'galgal alabor, that would be, and then the wheel gets smashed at the pit being the mouth, and that would refer to his excrement, the stomach contents. And we see that, we talk about that. Vizireti perish al pnechem perish hagechem. I will scatter your excrement on your faces. The very excrement, being very nice, because of course we know what it means. And I will pour it right, all of the stuff that you think is so beautiful of your holidays and your beautiful meal, I'll pour it right into you as a bunch of excrement. What is the excrement of holidays? I mean, it's not a very nice way to refer to a yontiv meal. I mean, a yontiv is, even if you say he's not the kulei l'shem shamayim, I mean, you want to refer to a yontiv as perish. It doesn't mean the chag. This is, as Rav Chaga says, when it's talking about a chag over here, it doesn't mean a yontiv. It means people who live every day as a holiday. Sheminichin divrei Torah v'osim kol yameim kechagim. It's all about having fun, and there's nothing that matters about anything. So basically, all of life is festivals. You know, so we have the music festivals, and we have the light festivals, and the running of the bulls festival, and the bull excrement festival, and so on and so forth. So because of that, we're talking about the chagechem, are those kinds of perish chagechem. Omer of Levi, Omer of Papi, Omer of Yoshua. Yes, that's basically the point. So 3 days after this guy who's been stuffing up his stomach, which is now impossibly fat, after 3 days, and he's sitting there rotting, his stomach bursts open, takes all of its contents, throws it back on his face, and basically says, here, you can have it back. Enjoy. Tol mashana tatabi. Okay, Richie, give us the next Mishnah. Thank you. So continuing other inyanim that are done on Shabbos, now we'll talk about things that you have to be careful not to do. So, ein ma'atzmina tamet b'shabbat, you're not allowed to close the eyes of a corpse. And you can't even do that not on Shabbat if the person is in the process of dying. V'lo b'chol im yitziat ha'nefesh. As a matter of fact, if you close someone who is dying, as he's dying, you are looked at as a murderer. Hareza shofech damim. Why is this? Because let's say you have a candle. You have a candle at the very end of the candle's burning, which is the way we always talk about life, as long as the candle burns. So it's the same at the very last burning of the candle, the slightest movement at all puts out the candle. So adam, it's not like a burning bright candle. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, that there's a perfect way not to close the eyes of the mate by forcing them close, but actually getting them to close on their own. Because remember, there's plenty of electrical current that is still available for muscle movement that accounts for a lot of movement after death. So I wrote, Seshi, that's more enough, shall mate. I can tell you that there's an amazing way to do this. If you blow a little bit of wine into the nose of the body, you put a little bit of oil between the eyelashes, and then if you apply pressure to the toes, the eyes will close on their own. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. you want to take a look at the difference between Shabbos for the living and Shabbos for the dead. This was the whole, remember the whole Gemara we had before about David Melech Yisrael, in which Shlomo HaMelech sends a question to the Chachamim, my father has died, and the dogs need to be fed, and they answered him first about the dogs, and then about David Melech Yisrael. So we're going to see the differences over here in the impact of that small difference, of that flickering candle. So you can have an infant who is a Ben Yomo, he was just born, and he's alive. You're Mechalel Shabbos for that child. David Melech Yisrael, who is dead, ain't Mechalel of us a Shabbos. Tenok ben yomo chai mechalin alavat haShabbat. Remember, as we said before, that's because Omra Torah, the way that the Torah was merames in v'shomru v'nei Yisrael es haShabbat lidorotam. Right. So, what is that lidorotam? To be shomer Shabbos, to allow shmirah Shabbos lidorotam, so that it's better to be mechalal this Shabbos in order that the dorot from this person and the rest of his life will be able to be shomer Shabbos. So over there, it's kedai. But once David Melech Yisrael is mate, then ain't Mechalel in Ezer Shabbat. Why? Because he'll never be Shomer Shabbos again. Because Kivan Shemet Adam, once a person dies, he is never again Chayev in mitzvahs. So he's Batel min ha-mitzvot, as Rabbi Yochanan said, Bameitim Chofshi. What is the meaning of the statement of that I was Nechshav Bameitim Chofshi, free of what? It means, given Shemet Adam, he's chofshi, he's naseh chofshi min ha-mitzvot, and he's no longer considered to be a bar mitzvah in any way. So because of that, why be mechalel Shabbos to assure future Shmirah Shabbos? V'tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. There's obvious differences between that last flickering of life and the moment after death. V'tinok ben yomo. Generally speaking, if a child is alive, unless you're in very special places that have serious problems with animals and so on, you don't need to have a constant shmira on a child not to have a mouse eat him. But an Og Melech HaBashan, you can have like the most powerful, incredible monster giant on earth. The moment that he's dead, you need to watch his body from Chuldar Akbarim. And this is basically the pasuk in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the bracha to Noach, and he said, Mora'achem v'chitchem, chitchem, we're dashing melosh of chiatchem, as long as there's life in you, yihyev, I'm going to put that on all of the chayot ha-sadeh, and so on. So that means, kozman she'odam chai, imato mutelet ala briyot. So as long as a person is alive, then the other things in the world are frightened and respectful of humans. But kivan she'meit, Batla imato. In Omer of Yitzchak Naktino, we have a Kabbalah that Arye Abetre lo nafil. Lions will not attack two people. So that's why two people, because it says v'chitchem. Chitchem means the two of you. Really now, would you like some newspaper reports or maybe YouTube? Because we sure know about plenty of cases where lions attack two people. So what are you talking about? Hakachazina de nafil. No, that's of course, but that's because of Rami Bar Abba. The Omer Rami Bar Abba, all I said was that a chaya will not attack, even as a lion, will not attack two people, okay? But the question is, how exactly does the chaya know that it's people? So if a person who is supposedly, there's something over here, I don't know what he's talking about. Richie, did you say something wrong in the... I know what he's got.
Leave it for later. Leave it for later.
Okay. Fine. All right. So he's only, a chaya's only shaylet on an adam is if he looks to the chaya like an animal. So then he doesn't know that he's human. So one of the inyanim that if a person remains human, yes. But as it says in the pasuk, adam biyakar. When it comes to humans, let me tell you something, Ba Yalin, his beautiful chashivas and his preciousness, he's not going to necessarily be able to keep that on himself all the time. And if you notice that he is nimshal, that something was able to attack him and be more than a human over him, that's because kabeimot nidmu, he became an animal. So other animals just look at him like an animal. So therefore, if he's no longer appears to be a human, then there's no dinner for chitchem. And that's what the difference is. But Rav Papa is 100% true when he says that a human will never be attacked, two humans, that is to say, because of chitchem. Or Rabbi Chanina, because it's of this, of chitchem, it's also shown bebayit yechidi. It's, you're not allowed to sleep alone in a place, because it can make you really nervous. And once you get nervous, you are open to kol hayashen bebayit yechidi hachazato lilit. You can be attacked by these weird kind of spirits and shadim. And lilit is considered to be the aim of all of the shadim. V'tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, look, there's also this continuation of the idea of what Shlomo HaMelech was saying, of zechoret boracha bimei bechurotecha. So do while you're able to. If you can do tzedakah, remember, it's not always up to you to be able to do tzedakah, okay? First of all, you need to have an appropriate recipient in order to give tzedakah. So you're very lucky if you've got somebody like that. So therefore, asei achatamotzei. So do tzedakah when you find someone roy to give it to. Do tzedakah while it's still matzui lecha. Make sure you'll still have money to give. You'll think about leaving. Who knows what'll be with money? And while it's odcha biyadecha, make sure that it's still under your control before your kids have you declared incompetent and take away all the money. Get that, Rich. That includes first-class air tickets. V'av Shlomo amar b'chokhmato. And this is Merumet, Zechor Boracha, Bimei Bechurotecha, Ada Shelo Yavo, Yimei Hara'a. What are those bad days? Those bad days are the days of old age, Zikna. The Igio Shanim, the years will come that you'll say, nothing to do. That's referring to Yemos HaMashiach. What are you going to do in Yemos HaMashiach? You're going to give tzedakah. The whole world's going to be in such a state of completion. Nobody needs you, so nobody will need your money anymore. What are you going to achieve then? But this, of course, is not like Shmuel, because Shmuel said, "Ein bein olam azel imot haMashiach, ela sheibud malchiyot bilvad." Shmuel says, there's no such thing. What do you mean, ein bein lo zechut v'lo chovah? It says, "Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerav haaretz." There will not be a time when there won't be poor people, even bizman haMashiach, that are there in order to be able to give a zechus to those who can give tzedakah. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, La'olam yivakesh olam racham yimal mida zu. A person should always ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him from anius, because it gets to, you may think you got all the money in the world and you'll never be in a matzav of needing help. It isn't true, because if it doesn't happen to you, it'll happen to your kids. And if not your kids, then your grandchildren. For sure, because it says ki biglal hadavar hazeh, because of the you're giving tzedakah, biglal hadavar hazeh, and don't feel bad about it. Why don't feel bad about it? Ki biglal, meaning Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel, biglal means a lotion of galgal, so it's like a constant revolving situation, and there's never such a thing as being in a position that assures your riches for yourself or the next generation or the generation afterwards, whether it's war, whether it's financial collapse or whatever it is, bankruptcy, somebody is going to get hit. And if you're not poor now, you'll be poor one day. And if it's not you ever to be poor, your children will be poor. And if not that, sooner or later, it's going to hit your family. Omer of Yosef, Naktina Naitzur Mirabon and Lomeane. But we do have a kapola that Talmid Chachomim don't become poor. That's ridiculous. Vakachazina de Miani, understand. Of course they become poor. No, the point is that they don't become poor to the point that they have to drag themselves around begging at doors. So they don't get to that point. There'll always be somebody that will be Merachim on them to prevent that from happening. Omer lo Rabbi Chiyala de Vito. Rabbi Chiya said to his wife, if a person who's poor knocks on the door, bring him something to eat quick in order that when your kids go begging at the doors, they'll bring out food for your kids quick. So she said, what are you cursing me? You're cursing our family, that our family should become poor? And that he said, what do you mean? Cursing you? Chas v'shalom? It's a pasuk. Ki biglal hadavar hazeh. And Rabbi Yishmael explained, it's a galgalu shechozer bo'olam. So don't have any sense of relying on your own means. Tanya, Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe Omer, v'natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha v'hirbecha. So as the pasuk continues to say, if you are merachem, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually give you the midas harachamim, kol merachem ala briot, merachamim alav min hashamayim. So it'll be exactly the same. As long as you are merachem on the brios in the olam, so too will min hashamayim, they will be merachem on you. And by the way, this means literally merachem ala briot. It does not mean necessarily on humans. It means bichlal, to have a sense of care for the creatures on this planet. Anyway, getting back to continuing the closing of the Inyanim in Kohelet. So we're going to go back now to the other Ramazim, which, as I mentioned to you earlier, were connected to the Mishnah's comparison of Korah and Lehi. Ada shalotechshach, so it continues to say over there, Ada shalotechshach, Hashemesh, Vehaor, Vahayareach, Vakochavim. So what does that mean? So the Shemesh and the Or is a reference to the darkening of what was once beautiful in this person in his life. His forehead that was bright and shiny when he was young, and his nose, and the Areach, that refers to the inner light, his neshama. The stars refer to his cheeks that shine out from between the hairs on his beard. V'shavu ha'avim achar ha'geshem, and then the clouds come back after the rain. What's that? That means the clouds are the cataracts that cover your eyes and don't allow you to see after the rain, meaning after all of the tears of the pain of old age and everything that you've gone through in life. Omar Shmuel ha'idimata. The din is, the Kabbalah is like, remember Shmuel was a doctor, so he said the idea is like this. Until you're 40 years old, so whatever damage you've done to your eyes with straining and the crying and misery, you can actually repair that. So it's hadra, you can get your eyesight back. But mikan ve'elech lo hadra. After that, you're not going to be able to repair losses of eyesight. You'll have to compensate for losses of eyesight. The Omer of Nachman, Haikuchla, the Kuchla was that salve that they used to use on their eyes, coloration. So Ad Arboim Shnin Mirvach. So until you're 40 years old, it actually can improve their situation with your eyes. Mikan ve'elach, I don't give a hang how much of this stuff you use. Afilu malya kavisana de girdai. You can use so much of this stuff that it would fill up a whole beam from a loom, which is gigantic. I mean, that would be one heck of a way to put it in your eye. The most it can do is stop further deterioration. It's certainly not going to improve your eyesight. And what's the point of talking about a loom? A beam from a loom? No, that's to tell me that the thicker the piece of wood that you would use to apply it, the better it is. So he's just using this as a remez. And Rabbi Hanina had a tragedy happen in his family, and his daughter died, and he did not shed any tears on her. And his wife was very furious. And she said to him, I understand you're treating the death of our daughter like you threw a chicken out of the house. What the heck is with you? I mean, like there's no emotional response. He says to her, what are you, nuts? But what would be the point of crying? I should suffer both things. I should suffer the tichla. I should suffer the bereavement of a child. Plus, I should go blind. What's the point? That's because Rabbi Chanina held of the Maimer of Rabbi Yochanan that there are shesh demaot, there's six different types of tears. Three of them are good for the eyes, and three of them are bad for your eyes. So smoke gets in your eyes. That's bad. Shel Ashan. Or Shel Bechi. If there's crying for Avelos, that's bad. And pains in your abdomen, Shabbat HaKisei, that's a disaster. And if it brings you to literal crying, that is bad. But if you've got medicated drops, or you're laughing so much that you're crying, or you're cutting a bunch of onions, that's good for your eyes. Anyway, getting back to the end of old age. So now we're talking about the relationship to the house that I said to you in the Mishnah was a remez to the end of the daf. And that's exactly what it gets to in Kohelet. So then it goes to Bayom Shiyazu Shomrei HaBayit. So the Shomrei HaBayit will start to shake. And then the Anshei HaChayil are going to start bending. Umiato atochanot kimietu, and so on. So what are these things? What are the shomrei habayis? What are the anshei hachayil? What are the tochanot? What are the ro'ot barubot? What is all of that? So the shomrei habayit that is comparing the body to a building. So that would be the ksalim and the tzla'ot. So that's the flank, you know, the area between the tzla'ot and your abdomen and your pelvis, and the ribs. And those protect basically your internal organs. So they're called the shomrei habayit. And they will start trembling. And then the anshei hachayil that hold everything up will start stooping. That's a reference to the legs. Ubatlu atochanot kimietu. That means you'll have very few teeth left and there won't be much to grind. V'chashchu haro'ot ba'arubot. The people looking through the windows, those no longer could see very well. That's referring to your eyes. Omarle Kesav Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And Kesar was upset that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya didn't come to Be'er Avidan. Remember, we discussed earlier, Be'er Avidan was this debate center where they would have all of these philosophical and religious debates. So they had a lot of stuff over there with the Tzedukim and Baitusim, as Rashi brings. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya didn't show up. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was known to be one of the great debaters. There were Gemaras discussed elsewhere, things that he did actually in the Beit HaKesar. I'm in the Beit HaKesar. So the Kesar asked him, like, how come we don't see you around in the debate center? My time aloha tito lebe avidan. Oi, says Rabbi Yeshua, let me tell you something. The mountain is covered with snow. All around the mountain, there is like icebergs. The dogs don't bark anymore and the grinders don't grind, meaning my head, which is the mountain, is now covered with white hair, so it looks like a snow-covered mountain. And my beard, my mustache, is all like a bunch of icicles, because everything is white, and that's not like I used to be, let me tell you. And the dogs don't bark anymore, meaning I don't have a voice left that I can really sit arguing over there in your debate center, and your amp doesn't work well. And not only that, but the grinders aren't grinding very well. And all that stuff that you serve, you know, I can't eat anything. I got no teeth. Be'rav Amri. And the Talmidim of Rav says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said something else, which is very cute. Adala avidna bachishna. I'm always looking for something that I didn't lose, meaning that his body is bent over. And he's shaking, moving his head back and forth. So as I walk to your Be'er Avidan, I look like I'm looking for things, which is the Be'er Avidan. So I can do that outside of the Be'er Avidan too, because I'm so old. Believe me, you don't need me there.